Well, if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn back to 1 Kings chapter 21. 1 Kings chapter 21. We're going to start in verse 1. I'm going to read through most of the chapter this time. There's a little further we're going to go. So then it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard who was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for the garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give it thee, for it is better, for a better vineyard than it. Or, if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbiddeth me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word of which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him, for he had said, I will not give thee an inheritance of my fathers. He laid down, laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. But Jezebel his wife came to him and said unto him, Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite and said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else, or if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel his wife said unto him, Dost thou not govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city dwelling with Naboth. She wrote in the letters saying, Proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. Set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witnesses against him, saying that thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And the men of the city, even the elders of the nobles, who were the inhabitants in the city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. They proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him, and the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. And then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive but dead. And it came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he is gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that shut up and left in Israel, and will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha the son of Ahijah, and for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. Of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, The dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city the dog shall eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominably in the following idols, according to all things that did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard those words, that he rent his clothes, and put sackcloth upon his flesh, and fasted, and lay in sackcloth, and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring evil upon his house." So we've seen this morning that Naboth and his obligation. We've seen that he had a vineyard, he had a possession. His profession was keeping it. It was taking care of that vineyard, growing grapes, and that would supply the needs of his family. But then we've seen his protection in the fact that he had a heritage. He had an inheritance here that he was to guard, and he was to protect it from anybody. So he would have something to pass on from his fathers through himself to his children. But then we also see Naboth and his opportunity. We've seen he had a royal opportunity. We've seen the reasonable opportunity. We've seen all the responsible opportunity. And we've seen a repugnant opportunity. But we've seen the fact is that he didn't take advantage of that opportunity. He chose to take and stand for what was right. He chose not to sell. He did not sell out. Because he says, Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee." So we see, thirdly and lastly, we see Naboth and his obedience. We see Naboth and his obedience. In the last part of verse 2, we see, "I will give it thee." He says, "I will give thee a better vineyard than it, and if you see good, I will give thee the worth of it money." And Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid it me." See, we learn a lot about the character of Naboth through his refusal. When he stood on the word of God. He stood on what God had said. There in verse 3 it says, "The Lord forbid it me." He told Ahab no because God forbade him. There's a lot of people today that a good example is Balaam. God told him, "No, don't go," because Balak wanted him to curse the children of Israel. But he went anyways. See, not everybody is obedient, but Naboth obeyed. He refused to sell what God had given him through his fathers, his inheritance. Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 23. Leviticus 25 and verse 23 says, "The land shall not be sold forever. For the land is mine, for ye are strangers and sojourners with me, and in all the land of your possessions ye shall grant a redemption for the land. And if thy brother be waxen poor, and hath sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which is his brother sold. And if the man have none to redeem it, himself be able to redeem it. Then let him count the years of the sale thereof, and restore the overplus unto the man to whom he sold it, that he may return unto his possession." So we see here that it was in verse 23, "The land shall not be sold forever." And there was a time, chapter 25 of Leviticus. Chapter 25 and verse 23. Okay. "So the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, for ye are strangers and sojourners with me." But then it talked about redeeming it down here, verses 26 through 27, 28. He says, "And if a man have none to redeem it, and himself be able to redeem it, then let him count the years of the sale thereof, and restore the overplus unto the man to whom he sold it, that he may return unto his possession. But if he be not able to restore it to him, then that which is sold shall remain in the land, the hand of him that hath bought it until the year of Jubilee, and in the Jubilee it shall go out, and it shall return unto his possession." So there was a process that God had set in place in Leviticus about the possession of the land, the inheritances. So we see that God says he forbid them to get rid of it. And then we see in Numbers chapter 36, in verse 7, it says, "So shall not the inheritance of the children of Israel remove from tribe to tribe, for every one of the children of Israel shall keep himself to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers." So there was a lot to be said about the inheritance that was passed on from one person to the other. There was something, there was meaning in it. Then we see in Ezekiel, we're going to keep our hands in 1 Kings chapter 21, but Ezekiel chapter 46. Ezekiel 46, verse 18, says, "Moreover, the prince shall not take of the people's inheritance by oppression to thrust them out of their possession, but he shall give his son's inheritance out of his own possession, that my people be not scattered, everyone from his possession." So it was clearly forbidden in God's word for the king to even try to take the inheritance from Naboth. The king was forbidden from buying the inheritance of the people. But Ahab, as we find out in verse 25 of chapter 21 of 1 Kings, is a very wicked king. We find that he wasn't following after the Lord. He wasn't doing the things. There was nothing good, say, about Jezebel and Ahab. There was nothing good. But we see in Psalm 119, 105, it says that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. See, we need to put God and his word first. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And then we also see in Psalm 19 in verse 8. It says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And if we do put God first, we will never go wrong. God's word is our guide for life. We see in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, it says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Whereunto you do well that you take heed. If we take heed to God's word, what's it say in Psalm 119 and verse 11, or verse 9, it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. And then in verse 11, it says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. If we put God first, if we put his word, it's a priority in our life. It's a guide for our life. See, Naboth was obedient. He stood on the word of God. But then we also see he was obedient to the will of his father, or the fathers. In verse 3, First Kings chapter 21, in verse 3 it says, Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. See, Naboth stuck to what he knew was right. There are many, many turning from the old paths for the new ways. Do we not see that today in the churches? We were just talking about that this afternoon. People are not sticking to what was the old paths. There's some tradition there, but they're not sticking to what's right. They're turning their away to the new ways. So it usually starts in the area of music, as we've discussed many times. Their standards loosen. The preaching's not as hard as it once was. There's still a few not willing to sell out. There's still a few willing to take a stand. Well, you see, we have a few here. But Elijah thought he was the last one that did not bow to Baal, but God revealed to him that he had 7,000 reserved that had not bowed their knee to Baal. So there are people still trying to take a stand. It's just the thing is where are they? We don't see them readily. There needs to be more preaching against sin. There needs to be a calling of sinners to repentance so they can trust the Lord. So why? So we can have someone to pass on the inheritance of what God has entrusted to us. We need simply to be thankful for all those who faithfully take a stand on God's word and stand for what is right. And I think we are. We recognize people like Pastor Dion, who stood in the gap for 46 years in Great Falls, and some of these other pastors. Some of the pastors, Pastor Lydick, I think, he's been in the guy that came, the evangelist that came, we heard in Buffalo, and that was in Laurel, I can't remember his name, but C.T. Spears, been preaching for 50 years. He's been standing in the gap. He stands for what's right. We need to be thankful for people like those, because that's because of them people we are here today, because and able to do what we're doing. We need to redeem the time, because why? The days are evil. We need to redeem it. So we see the obedient to the will of the fathers, but then we also see the worth of the king. If there in verse 3, the worth of the king. Naboth said unto Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. See, he couldn't sell it no matter what. He wasn't going to sell it to anybody. But he really wasn't going to sell it especially to the king. Why? Because he knew the king was wicked. It says there in chapter 21 and verse 20, it says, and Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. In verse 25 it says, but there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. There was none. He was a very wicked king. Naboth valued what he had, but the king would not. He knew, I mean, just in what the king asked him in verse 2, the king wanted to take his vineyard and turn it into a garden of herbs. He wanted to go in there and mow it down. He wanted to take everything that Naboth's family had built over many, many, many years and pass it on through the generations as an inheritance, and wanted just to throw it all away. Ahab did not have a regard for the things of God. He did not care about God. So no matter who wants what we have, they are not worthy to take it. And we must be willing to tell them that. So when we have something that's passed on through by inheritance, something that our parents have passed on to us, I don't have a godly inheritance, because my family is Mormon. They're not, none of them saved that I know of. My mom claims to be, but it starts with me when I got saved. See, we remember Esau, who sold his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of pottage. Esau did not value what he was or what he had. Someone once said, everyone has a price. It implies that everyone comes to a place where they will sell all they have if the price is right. I don't think that's accurate, because I think there's people out there that won't sell no matter what. But we won't know until that day comes when somebody offers us a price. Something I meant to mention this morning, and I didn't take the time to mention it, but we're willing to take and do a career in the world, or take a job to where it affects our worship. It affects our life with serving the Lord. And what is our price? You know, there was a time that I started out working at Perkins downtown, and I wanted more money at the time. And I wasn't satisfied with what I was getting, but I was working graveyards, and I didn't have to worry about going to church, because I was always able to work during the night, and then I was able to be in church every time the doors were open. But no, Larry wanted more money. So I came out to the Flying J, was working graveyards. It was good for a while, and then they lost a bunch of employees, and they moved me up in the first position. And one of the problems there was is they wanted me to work Sunday. Well, one Sunday led to two, and led to three, and before you know it, I was out of church. And that's the problem with people today. They're not willing to take a stand for what's right. And I finally got to a point in my life where I will not work Sundays, period, no matter what. And guess what? If we are willing to take a stand, God's going to bless our lives. There's young ladies that don't realize their worth, young men who don't realize their worth. We must not sell the vineyard. How much is our minds worth? Question is, what is your price? What do we all allow before our eyes? What do we listen to? We must not sell our vineyard. How much is our testimony worth? Some have sold to keep friends. Some have sold to impress somebody. But some have sold to fit in. We must not sell our vineyard. How much is our life worth? It just takes one wrong, sinful choice to ruin our life and to lose the ability to be used of God. And we've seen that here. We've seen that in other people's lives. They make a choice. They sell out for the things of the world, and before you know it, they've lost everything. How much is a soul worth? Our soul is the only thing we have of any eternal value. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Verse 36. It says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" There's nothing truly that we can give to an exchange. But people have sold themselves to doing wrong and have sold out to the world. See, Naboth refused to sell out. But that came with a high price: his life. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. This verse fits perfectly in this particular passage. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And I think Naboth is a perfect candidate here. He chose to take a stand for what was right, and it cost him his life. But he came out a winner on both sides. He stood for what was right. And guess what? He got to go home to be with the Lord. But see, we also see the consequences the king had dealt with. Is Elijah came to the king and told him that the dogs were going to lick the blood, his blood up, where Naboth, they licked Naboth's blood up from when they stoned him. And then they also said that they're going to do the same thing to Jezebel. And that's in 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 17 through 24. So who was the winner here? Naboth. Naboth was the winner. Why? Because he maintained his integrity. He maintained who he really was, who he stood for. He stood for God. But even though he died, he went to be with the Lord. He was the winner on both sides of this. And see, the wicked king was punished for his wicked deeds, and his wicked wife was also punished. We see that in 1 Kings chapter 21, 17 through 26. And then, see, Ahab, at the end of the chapter, we read, did humble himself, which only bought him a little extra time. But eventually he did die. Eventually God allowed him to. And eventually exactly what God said was going to happen, happened. So we see Naboth and his obligation. He had a possession. He had a vineyard. We've seen his opportunity. He was offered a great opportunity to either gain a better vineyard or be paid outright for whatever he wanted for the vineyard. But he wasn't willing to sell out. But we see Naboth in his obedience. He stood on the word of God. He was obedient unto the fathers. But then we see what was worth more to him than the king was to simply to be obedient to God. Let's pray.